It's Tuesday, 20th of October, and it's time to get your grip on with the Greencast here to discuss the world of gaming from the past week. I'm your host, Ace, and joining me are Rhodes.
Hey.
Dominoid.
Hello.
Nikki.
Hello.
Valt.
Hello.
And newcomer, Winx.
Hey there.
It's an absolutely packed podcast, as you can see. We've got like one thing to talk about, so let's get on with how we usually start the show with what's everyone been playing. Since you've come back from an extended absence, Rhodes, why don't you take us away?
Back from the dead.
I knew you were going to start with me, and I'm still scrolling up to find the games we played this week. Bloody hell. What have I played?
Clearly it was super memorable, whatever it was.
I spent so much time moving hands. It's all a blur now. I played Ghost of Tsushima Legends. There we go. That's what we can do. The new multiplayer mode for Ghost of Tsushima. It's Ghost of Tsushima, but multiplayer. I've only played it for like half an hour. Honestly, you shouldn't have come to me. Please, let's move on.
I thought you were going to regale us with your horrible experience with Baldur's Gate 3, but let's move on to Dominoid.
Can't tease them like that.
I'll have to get into like next week.
Yeah, exactly. I want to get the reviews in first. Come on.
Yeah, I mean, you want to get that those sweet, sweet clicks in first. If you want to know more about it, read the review coming to Game Grin soon. So, I have been... I played a bit of Genshin Impact this week. I've been playing very little else other than Mario Super Picross on the Switch. So, this came to the Switch Online SNES games a few weeks back. And this was the second Mario Picross. So, the first one was released everywhere. The second one was only actually released in Japan. I don't speak a word of Japan. I don't speak a word of Japan. I don't speak a word of Japanese. But you don't need to, because it's just Picross. And it's really, really addictive, and I can't stop playing it, and I think I have a problem.
Picross, I assume, is some sort of racing game.
No, Picross. It's that game where you make a picture out of pixels. So you get a grid of squares, and there's numbers shown at the top, which is how many of those squares are colored and how many are not colored, and it makes a picture. So like you've got 15 squares across a line, and it's got like 1, 1, 4. You'd be looking at that's one square that's colored, another square that's colored, and a group of four that are colored, and the others are not.
Okay, those are, I learned literally today, also known as pixel puzzles, because we were sent a review code for Pixel Puzzle Makeout Leak.
What?
Why do you find these games? What are you doing?
They literally sent it out of nowhere.
Ace doesn't find the games. The games find him.
Picross, you're having fun with it, because it's Mario, obviously. And you're
it's not Mario in the traditional sense, and it has no Mario characters in it.
What? So how's it Mario Picross then?
Yeah, this is the weird thing. Like, it's got Mario on the title screen and Mario like saying, "Congratulations, you completed the level," but the pictures are just random things.
Are they even plumbing related?
Nope. No ball cocks, no flanges. I don't know any other plumbing terms.
Maybe they're like Mario's own drawings and he just wanted to share them with everyone.
It's beautiful. Maybe they're Luigi's and Mario is continuing his trend of being an asshole. And is making
him He's outed Luigi as a secret artist.
Yeah. Look at my brother's shit pictures.
We put them on the fridge and tell him that they're really good, but really they're awful.
Aww. That's really sad.
Poor Luigi.
Hey Mario, look at my macaroni pictures.
Oh, they're very good, Luigi. Well,
let's
done.
Move off of the Luigi bashing. Nikki, what have you played?
Hello, everyone. Luigi. Hello, everyone. I'm Nikki. You know what this segment of the podcast is. It's Gacha Hell. You'd like a little jingle. Yeah. No, I'm going to be good. You know how this works.
That's the jingle that I've done for that. There you go.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So the usual of, like, Azulane and Genshin, but I played something different this week that I thought I would talk about because I don't know if I should be ashamed or not. I started playing Dota 2 again.
Oh, man. I thought it was going to be so much different.
Yeah. I'm not going to lie. I'm surprised. I don't know if I should be ashamed.
I was playing the don't play.
There are other things you could be ashamed of, you know, to be fair. That's not the most shameful thing that's happened this week.
That's only a Tuesday. No, to be fair...
Bear in mind, we're recording this in a week where somebody from a newspaper has masturbated on a Zoom call and the History Channel have had a show featuring a real-life Nazi making spice racks.
Oh, wow. Are they Nazi spice racks?
I mean, he probably doesn't sell to anyone who isn't white, so yes.
Is it Luigi again? That's where he's going.
You heard it here first. Luigi's a racist and he wanks on Zoom calls.
Hold on.
So Luigi's the Nazi spice rack maker who wanks on Zoom calls.
Oh my god.
Makes sense because he's a terrible artist. So was Hitler.
Nikki, tell us more about your game.
All coming together.
Never talked about Luigi. He was sus to begin with.
I've got nothing to add. I've just been playing Dota 2.
I can't really top that.
Fuck's sake. So a friend of mine said, hey, let's play Dota 2, and so I jumped in. I used to play Dota a lot. I used to play like League of Legends a lot as well, and then I went to university and just didn't have time to play anything because apparently I actually wanted a degree for some reason. So yeah, went back into it, and other than like forgetting how like the buying of items and the controls were, apart from clicking, kind of got back into it really quickly, and it was really nice to see that actually it's not as toxic as I remember, mostly because I wasn't reading the chat. Although I had a guy just go off at me in Russian, and I assumed it was at me because they were pinging everywhere I was. I think I was supposed to join a team fight, but I was quite content just like hitting the minions in my lane. It was nice. We lost. I'm not saying it's my fault, but
yeah, it's not.
No one can blame me. I'm new.
They can blame you in Russian and you won't understand.
No, because contrary to popular belief, I'm not Russian. People seem to think I am because of my name. I'm not. But yeah, other than that, it's just Gacha Hell and like a tiny bit of Tetris Effect on my lunch breaks because I go from bad screen to good screen and play Tetris for like half an hour at lunch.
Okay, Velt, what about yourself?
I took some time out of my day, only a few, I'd say a couple of hours, to play the, it was last week's free game on the Epic Game Store, which was Abzu. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly. Abzu. I can't think of any other way to pronounce that.
It's Steve.
Steve. Okay, Steve. So I played Steve for 2 hours. That's a long one. And honestly, I really, really liked it. It's sort of similar to games like Flower and Journey, games I quite enjoy playing anyway. And it genuinely had sort of an effect on me. I mean, I think the first half an hour of the game, I was sat there going, wow, it's so beautiful. Look at all the underwater. Oh, there's a fish. Look at that fish. Ooh, fish. And then something happened in the game where a shark ended up dying. And then I had this big sort of revelation that the game was just about how humans are destroying our waters and killing things. And I just felt sad for the other hour and a half that I played the game.
So what you're saying is it told a better story than The Last of Us 2, right?
Yes. What I'm saying is it's like Flower, if you don't know, it has a very strong environmental message, but it doesn't really tell it very well. Like there's one level where you're sort of being a petal in a sort of industrial area. But other than that, it doesn't really tell it very clearly. Whereas the message in this game is told very clearly and has some big emotional moments to it. And I was genuinely surprised.
Did you cry?
No, it's incredible. No, I didn't cry, but I was shook. I was genuinely a bit, I was a bit like, oh shit, I can't believe that just happened. And then I was incredibly quiet for like an hour trying to sort of come to terms with everything that happened in my own mind and think, well, wait, does this mean that, until I ended up getting to essentially the end of the game and just thought, okay, wow, that was something.
So you spent the last week coming to the realization that life is not infinite.
Or well, did you come to the realization
that humans are dreadful?
Yeah. Everything needs more sharks.
Yes.
Well, the shark is initially shown to you as some sort of villain figure. You look at the shark, oh shit, it's a shark. And then it eats your little robot friend. And you go, oh fuck, the shark's going to get me. And then it turns out that, like, these sort of mines that have been placed in the waters by, I assume, robot human Egyptians. There's some Egyptian themes in there as well. I'm not gonna. I wasn't quite on the ball enough to understand what was going on there. They and the mines sort of end up both killing you and the shark at the same time, and it genuinely sort of makes as Domino said, it makes me come to terms with the idea that humans are generally shit, because it's all sort of man-made disaster at that point, and it's not natural. Like, the shark shouldn't be electrocuted by mines, you know.
Well, I kind of touched a little bit on this when I reviewed Maneater earlier in the year, that, like, thanks to the popularity of Jaws more than anything else, sharks are seen as, like, really, really dangerous and terrible. But actually, the reality is more people are killed each year by champagne corks.
Yeah, it's true.
People eat more sharks than sharks eat
people. Oh, by a factor of literally tens of thousands.
Also, more people eat champagne corks and champagne corks eat people as well.
That's a dangerous one.
Okay, well, Winx, why don't you tell us what you played?
Well, I've been playing, I've been finishing Katamari Damacy Reroll on Steam. Yeah, just doing the King's Drudge work, you know. I've finally finished that, complete that. I've rolled up the Corona Borealis. I've rolled up Cancer. I've unified North Korea and South Korea into one, you know. Just the usual.
It's getting unbelievable now, isn't it? Come on.
All of these things actually happened. So
I don't think you realize, Rhodes, that Katamari is love.
Yeah.
Oh, I realize. Don't worry.
Come on, join the cult of Katamari.
It's not love, according to an article on our website.
The one I wrote.
Someone in this podcast.
But no, yeah. So I've been completing that and rolling up cows. There's really much to say about it.
Not
other
rolling
than
up cows. Isn't that the challenge, to not roll up cows? Or one specific cow?
Oh my god, yeah, you're right. See, that was a problem because I kept rolling up cows and I was wondering why I was game overing so soon.
Yeah, you shouldn't pick up the cows. Take the cows.
I tricked myself just now.
Yeah.
But what if the cows ate your robot friend?
Well,
then you electric mine them, clearly.
Yes.
And then Phil cries. That's it.
I didn't cry. I was internally upset. I have cried at games before, but not hard to. Although I wished it would have been more emotionally impactful, but.
We established a little while ago, didn't we, that if it makes you cry, then it's game of the year material. If it doesn't, it's just a good game.
Sonic the Hedgehog 2006 made me cry, but not for the same reasons. So does that count?
Is that for
game of the year?
Which bit made you cry?
It's a good job we weren't doing this podcast in 2006. That would have been awkward.
Yes would be the answer, by the way.
But Rocket League seems to win game of the year every year, so I don't know.
Yeah.
It wasn't last year.
Now starting the official campaign for Sonic the Hedgehog 2006 to win Game of the Year 2020.
So you're almost finished.
What, that killed conversation?
Myself, the usual, a bit more Yakuza Kiwami. My wife and I were looking for something to a game to play together, and we settled on Viscera Cleanup Detail the other day. And I've had it for a while. I've played it a few times. My wife, it was her first try of it the other day, and she really likes it. She's been playing quite a bit of House Flipper, and I realized that this is basically the same thing. You've got to clear up the area. Sure, you don't get money at the end, but you get a score.
I was going to say, like, it's a bit of a flipping houses and then cleaning up a murder scene. Two very different things.
Depends on the house.
I mean, Jason on Friday the 13th, you clean up his house in front of House Flipper.
So it is the same thing, basically.
Okay. There's a slippery road, and it's paved in blood, apparently.
Mm.
Is that how you avoid getting killed by Jason? Is you just do a really good job cleaning up his house for him?
Jason
can't kill you then, can he?
What you do is when he's trying to kill you, you just kind of make stains, and he has to stop and clean them up. Oh no! Look, Jason, there's jam on your carpet.
Little known fact about Jason, he's got OCD.
He's just immediately, as soon as some mess happens, he's like, well,
he's number one, he's got mummy issues, and he's got OCD. Both probably intertwined somehow. You can psychoanalyze this for hours.
She never cleaned when he was a child, and now he feels dirty and needs to clean 100% of the time.
That's why he hates those teenagers at the campsite, isn't it? Because they're just filthy.
You know that film where someone throws like some litter out of the window and there's the Native American crying? That was Jason. And now he's taken it upon himself to go around and murder all of the teenagers who are making things unclean.
It's like you've seen adult Friday the 13th.
I don't think you've seen the real Friday the 13th.
Captain Planet.
Yeah, he is Captain Planet. That's what Jason
is. Captain Planet. He's a hero. Gonna stab everyone. Wait, no, what?
Yeah, everyone who makes a mess, he stabs.
It's okay, listeners.
Make a mess, it's fine.
It's okay, listeners. If you're confused, so am I.
His name fits well
into the rhyming scheme. Jason Voorhees, he's a hero.
Yeah, his name also fits in the theme for Catch the Pigeon, but...
Catch the Jason. Oh, shit, he's got a knife!
Does Jason kill everyone in the different elements that all the other teenagers represent? Like, heart! Stab him right for the heart.
I've just realised, Jason's that meme of the kid where it's like, what have you got? A knife! No!
Yeah. Poor Jason.
Okay, so I haven't got a segue onto the news, so I'll just start talking about
it. You don't have a segue onto the news?
Well,
nothing that anyone has said has really fit into the first news story. Microsoft have come out saying that 30 games are going to be fully optimized for the Xbox Series, both the X and the S, on launch day. They've listed them, these games that are going to be available via smart delivery and in stores. It's all the usual suspects, your big Ubisoft titles, Fortnite, Forza, Maneater that Dominoid was talking about earlier.
Good Sea segue.
Of Thieves. Tetris Effect Connected. Mm. I didn't know that was a thing, I'll be quite honest.
I see Yakuza Like a Dragon. Is that confirmed? I didn't realize it was confirmed for launch day.
Yeah.
It's pretty fun.
I'm intrigued to see what they do with Yes, Your Grace in terms of an upgrade, because it's literally pixel art.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I will say that NBA 2K21, whatever it's called, it's listed, right? But it doesn't say smart delivery. And that's because they only do a free upgrade to those who spend, I think, $100, right? On like the special edition. I think it's like the Kobe Bryant edition or Mamba Fever or something like that. So if you're a basketball fan and you wanted to get an upgrade, a free upgrade, you had to have bought it for like £85 or $100 up front. Otherwise, you would have to pay again, well, not even a $60 fee or £50, whatever. You would have to pay the $70 next-gen tax. It's ridiculous.
Just expressing visual disgust here. You can't see it because it's a podcast, but...
I thought Sony were the only ones cashing in and not allowing you to upgrade very easily.
Mm-hmm.
To be fair, it's kind of... It seems like this one's not entirely Microsoft's fault. It's...
Well, it'd be 2K games, wouldn't it?
But, 100%. 2K.
2K yeah, said earlier on they were doing this.
There's this kind of this whole thing of like, oh well, it'll be enhanced for this, it'll be enhanced for that. But realistically, how much of a difference does it make?
Let's be honest.
Yeah, it's going to be a little bit crisper, but realistically, is there that much difference between 720 and a 1080p version of the same game?
You know what? There'll be quicker loading times for real adverts, probably. So you'll probably see adverts faster and for longer. So,
that's well, I'm sold. I'll have two then, please.
That's something that gets me, because loading times are coming down, and yet there's games. Oh well, it's okay that they have a real advert for a real product because it's in the space where the loading time is. Yeah, but look at all these games that have next to no loading times.
Mm.
Hey, so if you think 2K and EA can get their loading times below 5 minutes, you're wrong. Like, I can't describe how much of my life I've spent sat in the lobby of a FIFA game. It hurts.
Is it long enough that you could have just gone outside and played FIFA? I mean, football. I don't fucking know what sports are.
I'm playing a game of FIFA with my...
Look, Mum, those kids are playing FIFA outside.
My argument doesn't necessarily hold water, does it? Because have you seen how fat I am? That I definitely can't do the stuff in real life that I can do on FIFA.
Just reminded me of a tweet.
And I'm not even very good at FIFA.
Just reminded me of a tweet I saw earlier this week about it's a guy saying that video games are like anti-Christian or Christians shouldn't like video games, and then somebody else has quote tweeted it saying, yeah, don't play Call of Duty, join the Marines. Don't play football games, go outside, that sort of thing.
Don't play Tetris, just get lots of boxes and stack them.
Mate, that would be fun.
Don't play Christian
fun right there.
Don't play Super Mario Brothers, just go to the zoo and jump on all the turtles until they throw you out.
Don't play Yakuza, that. Just
join the gang. Speaking of Yakuza, something that I have noticed actually about a lot of these games that have been saying they're going to have an enhanced version sort of early on, because ultimately, like, we'll see the graphical leap in maybe 2 years. Like, that's something that consumers should bear in mind, especially as they're having to keep them on the current gen as well. But anyway, something I have noticed in Yakuza had a little trailer earlier showing like the kind of visual upgrade. The place you're going to notice it is more in... Because the thing is, like, you can only do so much with static images, i.e. your textures, but things like your hair physics, your cloth physics, water physics, they're going to look much better, and all your VFX are going to look better as well. And, like, you just compare, like, the next-gen version of the new Yakuza to, I guess, the standard version, and, like, the hair just looks much better, because there's just more of it. Mm. This is a weird thing as well. I was reading an article a couple of weeks back. I cannot for the life of me remember where it was from. But they were basically putting forward the case that because hair can now be done, just using hair as an example, can now be done with more detail and more realism, there is now no excuse to not give us like proper afro options in games, because like now they can do them justice, basically. There's no excuse anymore, kind of thing. Not that there was to begin with.
It's just occurred to me that we're never getting Final Fantasy 16 because of the hair physics. We will never get that game until they are 100% happy with the hair being as realistic as possible.
I remember, look at the hair moving in this CG part of this PlayStation 2 game. It looks amazing.
Yeah, I remember that.
God. And something really interesting, actually, with this whole list is it seems to be like not replacing, but it's a substitution of how consoles usually release like a list of launch titles. This is like a list of titles you can play enhanced, which you don't really, you wouldn't have got beforehand, right? This feels quite new.
Yeah, I guess it depends on
how you mean, because like technically, like when the PS2 came out, you could have played all your PS1 games on it.
Yeah, but it wasn't like a smart delivery, like how Cyberpunk is going to come out and we're going to get the standard version of PS4 and on the Xbox One and everything. But on release, there will be like a patch that will make it more enhanced, whatever that means with that smart delivery.
I basically just coined a phrase to make day one patches sound exciting.
Yeah. Perhaps.
Get excited to play your PS4 games.
Oh boy, I can't that loading screen.
Well played, Microsoft. Well played.
Well, something else that you can get excited about is player versus player in Destiny 2, because Bungie have sent a cease and desist to Perfect Aim, the quote, biggest cheat provider for Destiny 2.
I love the very first comment on like the link you've sent us is a comment from someone that just says, I don't even play Destiny 2, and I'm here to say, good, fuck cheaters. That's a very valid stance to have on something like this.
I'll use single player games, but no, multiplayer, that's not fun for
anyone. Is cheating rampant in Destiny 2? Like, is it a bad thing in Destiny?
I mean, if there's the biggest cheat provider, then that implies there's multiple cheat providers.
Oh, yeah.
I have to admit that, like, yeah, over the years, I know when Destiny 2 launched, there was a massive issue about like the netcode and the anti-cheat basically not being up to par. Destiny 2, for anyone who's not familiar, actually came out a few weeks later on PC. The consoles came out at the same time, and then for some reason PC came out a bit later. Can't remember why. They kind of fixed all those problems by the time the PC version came out, so I didn't experience it. But I can say that I've had quite a lot of interactions and sort of crucible matches, crucible being the PvP, where like, yeah, I've just like it's just rampant with cheaters. It kind of goes in waves. Some weeks you'll have perfect matches, and then for like a week at a time you'll just have like, okay, cool, I just got punched through like 7 walls, that's fine, this is normal. So yes,
well, because the link that I shared is it goes to Reddit, someone brings up the interesting point that instead of selling it to end users now, because they're the biggest cheat provider, Perfect Aim are just going to sell the technology to someone else who's going to keep doing it, because they haven't been seen-assisted.
Yeah, that's... So what's the end goal in that? Is that you just sort of... You'd try and get rid of every kind of random cheat provider out there? Because, like, that is what's going to happen, isn't it? It's... that they become the biggest cheat provider, then someone gets rid of them, and then the next, like the second biggest cheat provider becomes the biggest cheat provider. Everyone just goes over to that instead. It's not going to do anything. It's just moving the place that people go and get their cheats.
But for a while, at least until everyone's on this next provider, things are looking up.
I think Destiny fans will immediately go to that next provider, though, won't they?
This is the thing, is the people that are actually, there's two factors here. The people that are actually like genuine player base of any game most likely aren't using cheats. It's the people who are cheating are just random people who are trying to troll or grief because they think it's hilarious. The second thing as well is, do not underestimate how lazy humans can be. There's going to be a large percentage of people that are going to go, oh, the cheat I've been using doesn't work anymore. Well, that was fun while it lasted. You know, the actual percentage of people that are going to move to the next one is going to be a lot less. Like, that's kind of all you got. It's that idea of like old water torture, just keep hitting the same spot until eventually it breaks.
Yeah.
If you don't know what water torture is, maybe don't look it up.
Don't Google that.
For once, don't look up something we've mentioned on the podcast.
It's not even lewd.
You should always look up stuff that we say is on GameGrid.com. It shouldn't always look up other stuff we talk about.
You can search it on the site, I'm sure.
Sure, give it a try. Get those fractions of pence of ad revenue.
I mean, mean, we've got a couple of reviews of like games that have water in them, so I guess, yeah, look for water on GameGrin.
I mean, a previous Grincaster, MZ, has a fear of water, and she's played a game that had water in it, where you had to fly over the water or something, so that was kind of a water torture for her.
Okay, so I've just done it. I've searched water torture on GameGrin.com. You can go there if you'd like. And we currently have 0 articles and 0 in the directory.
We don't even have anything for simply torture, which is quite disappointing.
We may have something about torture, I'm not sure.
Marketing and PR departments, if you're listening, you know what to do with the name of your upcoming game.
Oh, God.
Sure.
There's too many games that choose just everyday phrases or words. So, yeah, water torture would at least be different if you'd get your...
I did an interview with what's his name from Alan, whatever his name, the guy who did the water drinking game. Why is that not put under water torture?
Because come on, yourself.
I should have tagged it as water torture. Didn't. Damn it.
Well, something that isn't going to be torture is updating the PlayStation 5 because Sony have, in a bit of an interview, they've talked about the optimizations that are going to occur post-launch. For instance, the system's fan is going to be adjustable according to firmware updates. They're going to monitor how the fan is working under load from various games and then through various updates, because Sony do love updating their console. That it's going to get faster or slower depending on what it needs to. Like it should do. But
that's literally like every fan in every electronic device for the last 40 years.
But it's new.
But this is like you're going to load up Marvel Spider-Man and the PlayStation is going to say, well, we don't need to go above this speed, rather than, these bits of grass are going a bit faster, so let's spin up and sound like a helicopter. Cough, PlayStation 4, cough.
Hey, leave the blow dryer alone.
When Rocket League came out... Sorry, Trigger. When Rocket League came out on PlayStation Plus, when you were on the main menu, just looking at your car, choosing which option to go into... That's when the fan was the fastest. When you're in the middle of a match, it's going on and on into overtime, the fan is just idling along. But as soon as you end that match and you go into the main menu, because of the grass, that's 100%. You can look that up. That's 100% true. It's because of the grass on the main menu.
Breaking consoles because of that as well.
While we're on the topic of PlayStation updates, did any of you see the friend update that they did last week? About how, basically, when you go into a party now, you get a little notification from on your PlayStation saying, all your party calls are recorded, and you cannot opt out of this.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Okay, so there's a... Since we're talking about this now, there's apparently been a bit of a clarification on that, and it's not that they're recording them, and that they're actively listening. It's that, say you're in a call with someone and they drop a hard racial slur and you want to report them so they get banned, you can then do that. And that's when it will then be listened to. But it doesn't, from what I understand, they're not actively recording.
Imagine having to actively monitor PlayStation party chats.
I don't want to imagine that. I don't want to even consider
it. The person who has that job, I would say they would last maybe a week before quitting at best.
I reckon it'd be worse than a call center, genuinely.
You wouldn't have to deal with the abuse though, so it would be fine. You're just listening to other people talk about how they want to sleep with each other's grandmas or whatever.
Yeah, but what if you're like of a different racial background? And then
you'd have to hear like a lot of stuff, I guess, but
It's one of those things where, like, it when I read the explanation, I was like, this kind of makes actually a little bit of sense, but I can understand why people, you know, privacy data
would be worried. Like, yeah,
it doesn't help the way that it was portrayed. I mean, I guess it's kind of like this fan thing, but then going back to the subject of the fan update, I guess we're at that really awkward point as well, where, like, literally Steve Jobs isn't alive anymore. I can't use that as an analogy. Apple Tim Cook, that's the guy.
We're gonna kick a dead guy.
Some named person could walk on stage and, like, fart, and that would be like the headlining story for the next week. You know, it'd be like, I don't know, fucking head of Xbox farted, he hates all of you now, and just their stock would plummet for like two minutes, because gamers. You know, the fan thing's cool. As Dominoid said, though, it's something we've had for ages, but, like, we've got a couple more weeks until the consoles are out and people will start complaining that they don't work, so we've got to deal with all the stupid things of news until then. Next, there'll be an article about how long the screws are, and people will be jerking off in the comments about
it. M3 17 millimeters. Wow!
I'm changing to Xbox. Ugh. God.
Okay, well, since we're already talking about race and capital G gamers, Sony have released Sony have released a free PS4 theme to show support for Black Lives Matter. It's Black Lives Matter fist. It says Black Lives Matter. It is black and gold, and it looks pretty clear. Pretty clean, and capital G gamers hater.
Yep.
The thing I find most surprising about this is that all of the comments on the tweet are literally just people going, "I'm going to Xbox," and they'll be like, "Put your money where your mouth is," and then everyone's just like, "You do realize they donated $100 million to this cause, right?"
Oh, they're all American as well. Put your money where your mouth is.
Yeah. That's just the only impression I can do of people.
This is good. I was going to say, I like the headline here where it says racists react, because that sounds like a new Vine Bro series on YouTube. my favorite comment was, I grew up with a PS1 just to play Spyro the Dragon, and now I'm going to buy an Xbox.
Yeah, I love that.
Belief in logic.
It's like, what are you doing? I don't understand.
I'm so racist that I am going to ignore this brand that I have fanboyed for 30 years.
My favorite one was the person who was like, "I've been on this since Metal Gear Solid, and I've loved that franchise, and this is just too political." And I sat there like, "You're taking the piss. You can't be being serious right now."
I think, right, legit though, I've seen so many people use that argument of like, "Oh, well, games like Metal Gear aren't political. You dense motherfucker."
What?
This
is like, did you see a few months ago somebody started having a go at Tom Morello? The lead singer of you've gone all political. Seriously?
Yes, Rage Against the Machine have gone political.
What machine did you think he was raging against?
He was raging against. No, he was raging against the washing machine. He just silent washing in the title. That's all.
Yeah, it's bizarre that in 2020 we're actually having a conversation about this. Like, that people are actually upset that a company is against racists.
Right.
Like, how is that even a thing that just I genuinely cannot comprehend?
It's just how often you see like
that much of an idiot that you would stop playing games because they're not racist enough for you.
It just reminded me of something that happened like within like months, right? I think there was a trailer for Tom Clancy's Elite Squad. This is about, again, like the Black Lives Matter and the racist symbol, basically, and they use that symbol, color and all, everything and all, but in the context of like, only that they're the bad guys, that they replaced the BLM moniker with, like, I can't remember what they were called, like Omega, some kind of really
It was boring. Generic evil corporation.
No, it was a. I can't remember what language it was, but the word they used literally meant black.
Oh, it was Italian, wasn't it? I think
that was it. Latin, whatever. It doesn't. And it's just like, how can you differentiate, or how can you say like, oh, why is our video games aren't political? And yet, in the same breath, not even the same breath, they're not even doing it. The actual developers are out here doing that same thing.
The developers are saying it's not political as well. It's getting me so, it gets me so worked up that we live in a time zone where we're just not allowed to talk about politics out of fear that someone doesn't agree with us about one inconsequential thing. Not saying that this is inconsequential. I mean, it is. It's a fucking PS4 theme. But what's worse is the developers are fucking backing them up and saying shit like that isn't political. Saying Call of Duty is not political. It's about fucking war.
Yeah,
it's
this whole thing of that companies are trying really hard to sort of to straddle the fence and go, oh, well, you know, I mean, we do want to be anti-racist, but at the same time, some racists have money, so
we
don't want to upset the racists with money. And I think we've made that statement on this podcast before, that if there is any doubt, we don't want your money if you're a racist. Unsubscribe, stop visiting the website. We don't need or want your money or your patronage or your views or your listens. Fuck off.
At the end of the day, sorry, Winks.
That's okay. Oh, okay. And back to the whole Spyro thing, even like how people can just jump ship for years, giving money to the man, you know, the Sony, and then just being like, oh, wait, you know, this one thing I don't align with, why are you trying to be all political and stuff like that? It's a company, right? And they're just trying to make money. And at the end of the day, even though it's a really positive thing, visibility isn't a political movement. Citing back to how even PlayStation released themes on International Women's Day, it's not political. It's just, you know, representation for the players, for the pride. Again, representation. And here we go again with Black Lives Matter.
I just got to take away from this, though. Like, if you take away Twitter from this, imagine you were at work and someone was at your man, ordered the PS5, I'm so excited. And then, a week later, they came back in and they were like, I've cancelled it because of Black Lives Matter. literally everyone in the room would be like, you're a fucking pleb. What are you doing? Yeah.
You do get people thinking, you're not like, because you're right, in an office environment, it'll be fucking stupid and everyone will look at him like he's a bloody knobhead. But you do get people who actually do that, who, and that's why we have such as they call them in this country, like secret Tories or whatever, where people don't feel like they can be out and open about their politics because their opinion is, I don't want to buy a PS4 anymore because they've said Black Lives Matter, which is fucking stupid. But we shouldn't confuse the idea that black people exist as a political fucking ideological. It's not.
Imagine being so extremely fragile like that your a company just kind of blows your brain, ruins your childhood. And it's like you've based your worth on your products, the possessions, on conglomerates and on labels that, in light of all that, I kind of pity them that they're that fragile, that their existence, they don't know who they are to the point where it's like, oh, I'm Spyro. Me Spyro?
Me Spyro. They base their entire identity on a purple dragon that I'm just like, come on.
And it's not even Barney. What are they doing?
Exactly.
He's a dinosaur. He doesn't breathe fire.
He tried. That's the thing is you know, sorry to break it to everyone, but brands don't give a shit about you. There is no such brand loyalty is a stupid fucking thing that was probably invented by capitalism. I won't go into the whole capitalism rant because this is a gaming podcast.
Video games.
I'll save it for later. But at the end of the day, and I'm sure there are some people that, you know, have looked at this and gone, well, you know, it's just a bit of lip service, isn't it? You're not really anything. They're like, do you know what? Even if they've released this theme and it's literally the intention behind it was just to try and get a little bit of publicity, fuck it, I don't care, because at the end of the day, it's representation, it's there, and, you know, this is the thing that matters. We just need more representation of everything and to normalize everything. The people that are offended by this and are now being like, oh, fuck Sony, whatever, quite frankly, like, yeah, just piss off, mate. Just go. No one's going to miss you. And the funny thing is, you're going to go over to Microsoft and Xbox, find out that, oh, shit, they support Black Lives Matter. I'm going to go to Nintendo. Oh, Nintendo did as well. Oh, fuck. Guess what? You can't fucking play games anymore. Oh, let's cry a river for you. Yeah, fuck off, you racist dipshit.
I know. It's like the minimum argument is that, like, oh, no, Black Lives, women, LGBT rights. What rights? It's like, go to Russia, go to Saudi Arabia, go to where they don't advertise that stuff, and just live there and be happy whilst we kind of just live happy out here.
Well, we could take that phrase against them, which is, in this country at least, people say, if you don't like it, you can live somewhere else. Well, we need to take that against them I like what you're saying, and say, no, this is England, this is America, and if you don't like it, you can go live somewhere else.
I think it's kind of it's a rising thing in general, not just within gaming, but I'm seeing it a lot in gaming, of the art of critical thinking has basically gone. So people want to ally themselves to something, and in order to feel like they're involved in a debate somehow, they feel like the way to do that is to be against whatever popular opinion is, because then it's essentially prejudice is the get rich quick scheme of opinion, if that makes sense. It's like they want to be part of that group that actually knows how things really are, and how, you know, this is all a conspiracy against the right by the left-leaning media, and they're just trying to get to turn us all into robots. Like, they want to be in that ilk of people who understands the world more than other people, but they don't want to go through the difficult bit of actually, you know, spending time studying philosophy or science or whatever. So they just relate to, oh, conspiracy theories and, you know, my little clique of other white supremacists who they're my friends now, and I'm in part of something special. And it's like, you're not fucking special, you're pointless and a complete waste of carbon. Like, you could have been anything. You could have been coal. You could have been a diamond. You could have been Buckminster Fullerene. But no, you're that.
Just arguing about Black Lives Matter PS4 theme. Well done.
Yeah. I wish my life was easy enough where a PlayStation 4 theme was the only thing I had to be upset about.
Yeah, if that was the worst thing in your life, you would be doing so damn well for yourself.
Exactly. And the point, isn't it, at this point, with the game that you put capital G sort of gamers there, and the point is that they've identified themselves or they've used their identity and hitched their identity to an ideal or a brand or the word gamer. And they don't really care about anything else other than what's in that sort of little subsection. And as you said, Dominic, we're in that point today where politics itself has gotten to be a bit more like that. Politics itself has gotten very rooted in you need to be left or you need to be right. And there's a big war going on between sort of bizarre cultural identities and stuff. But at the end of the day, you've got this point where the gamers are just sat there in their own little sort of gamer shell, and they are identifying with what they think is more aligned with them, which is, I guess, the right-wing sort of ideology, or the idea that we want more representation for white men in games or whatever. And it's like, okay, sure. They can't handle the criticism of that, though. And that's why the whole sort of Gamergate thing existed back then. And I guess sort of still exists, because it's still kind of influencing all of the discussion around video games, politically anyway. And it needs to not.
Exactly. And isn't the point of like games and media just to like escape and to get relatable stories or fantastical stories and living other experiences that you can't even fathom? If you're like so invested with wanting to be the main character that they have to look exactly like you, everyone has to look exactly like you, just to throw your persona, throw your ego into them.
There are people like that, strangely.
Isn't this one of the big issues, though, when it comes to people who play games? Is that, like, for years, like, people have cried because games aren't recognised as art, but as soon as they start trying to touch on, like, difficult subjects. People are like, hang on, I just want my plumber and his pipes, and that's it.
Yeah. I've always tried to talk about difficult subjects, though. It's just people haven't paid enough attention to it. Like, when people say games are art, some of us are talking about it as if it is an actual artistic, as if it's on the same level as film, and we can actually do things that are interesting. And then some people are talking about it as if they're going, but why were my parents saying that video games are good for my health? When really it's like their mum and dad have just said, no, you can't play video games because you've been sat there playing Call of Duty for 10 hours straight and you need to go to bed or whatever. It's like that's people don't want video games to be recognized as art, because otherwise games would have to start speaking up. Games would have to get better at speaking up. And it has been proven time and time again that not just gamers, but those that make games don't massively want to do that step up, because they want the money instead. And they want it to be easy action popcorn. A lot of developers, anyway, want it to be easy action popcorn munching sort of thrillers. They want it to be an Avengers movie. They don't necessarily want it to be, and I've said this before, they don't want it to be March of the Penguins. They don't want to make the video game equivalent of that documentary about penguins. They want to make the video game equivalent of fucking Endgame every single time.
That is, yeah, that is a very good point. It's become a business, and that's, you know, that's totally understandable. But that is, I assume, why some of the biggest questions are being asked in like the smaller indie titles. You know, you want to look at a game that kind of works as art. There was one I reviewed a little couple of years back, That Dragon Cancer.
Yes, That Dragon Cancer.
The first time that I remember seeing a game that you could say counts as a tragedy. And that's the sort of thing that means that we'll cover games as art. But it actually asks, you know, it makes for things that are uncomfortable. And people don't like being uncomfortable, ultimately. They don't want anything to be questioned. That ultimately is why there's so much backlash against any positive movements, because they don't want to have to go, well, actually, is this, maybe society could be better. They just want to go, yeah, shoot Nazis.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've got the same kickback in music and films as well. And the film industry wants to be the video game industry right now. And it has for the last 10, 20 years. So our films are starting to question less and less what's going on. We've got a point where pop music doesn't want to be political either, where we have people like Taylor Swift who I mean, she has more recently stood out and said things, but she essentially just sat on a fence for the entire political debate. The last election with Donald Trump, she just sat on a fence and didn't say a single word. We've got people like Kanye wanting to be president and stuff. It's like, none of our entertainment mediums are now engaging with politics on a proper level or an interesting level, not even just real life like thoughts and feelings and stuff, but straight up politics. And people are too scared to talk about it because they don't want to be cancelled, or they don't want to say the wrong thing, or, you know, people are just scared and to speak their mind a lot of the time, I think. But that's probably because a lot of people think pretty random shit.
Well, I kind of believe that a lot of AAA developers actually want to do that, but they hide under the guise of, oh, it's not political. Like Ubisoft, the crowning king of like ignorance, feigning ignorance on that. It's like, oh, Tom Clancy's not political. It's like,
we've just used the
Metal
logo. It's not political.
It's like really? Division, gun control, not political.
It's actually the third podcast where we've talked about Tom Clancy's Elite Squad.
No way.
Episode 266, episode 268, and 273.
Were you digging up episodes, or do you just know that?
She knows it. Come on.
Two things I just wanted to quickly add to kind of, because everyone said some fantastic stuff that, you know, wholeheartedly agree with. The two things I just want to say to sort of finish up is that, one, good on your PlayStation for putting the theme out there. It's a bit, you know, could have done it a lot sooner, but hey, doesn't matter, because at the end of the day, the fight for equality is going to be, it's a long run. It's not happened overnight. The revolution does take time. And the second thing is that if you're one of the people who genuinely wants to see change in the world and, you know, actually see the world be better, get angry, get pissed, and fucking scream and shout and actually fight for that change. Because unfortunately, we are the minority. We need to really fight for it, you know, and just really go ham at it. And at the same time, it's people that, you know, going with what you were saying about like how things aren't political at the minute because, you know, everyone's trying to be safe. Go back 10, 15, even 20 years. Listen to some of the music. Watch some of the films. Get fucking inspired. I mean, we mentioned Rage Against the Machine earlier. Yeah, fucking listen to some Rage Against the Machine. Basically, if you take anything away from this podcast, get angry and fight for a better tomorrow because by hell, we sure as hell deserve it. That's thank you for coming to my TED Talk.
Amen. That Rage song has never been more relevant as well. I remember the when all the riots and stuff were happening, and it was the line, "Well, some of those who work forces are the same who burn crosses," and it's like, fuck yeah. I mean, that was what 20 years ago. Shit.
It's like every decade. It's every year. It's so poignant. It's so apt.
Well said. Well, that pretty much covers what I had down as the main topic too, because I did have down, is there anything gamers won't hate? And
there is one thing. Oh. And it's CD Projekt Red.
Oh no.
I am willing to listen to anyone who doesn't believe that is true.
Oh shit.
What about Bug Snacks?
They'll hate it.
They do hate Bugsnax. The second Bugsnax was announced, it had so much hate because it wasn't NBA 2K fucking 21. Bugsnax is king.
All of those people are wrong.
There are people out there who hate Knack for crying out loud.
Knack was one of the most underrated games on the PS4.
Take.
My friend is gonna love you guys.
Can't wait for Knack 3.
Oh, me too.
Coming on there.
Knack is getting a Bugsnax crossover.
It should do. Well, so I'm in the Discord, the Young Horses Discord server. And some of the jokes I still have not fucking done. Some of the jokes there are literally that Knack 3 is happening, or Knack's getting a Bugsnax name. So they're very, very aware of this this tie between Bugsnax and Knack.
Knack 2 came out what, 2-3 years into the PlayStation 4's lifespan. It's not out of.
It's not out. We need more space to get on it.
Our petition.
Yeah. Anyway, on that note, we've reached the end of our podcast. Thank you, everyone, for joining me, and thank you, everyone, for listening. Don't forget to check out GameGrin.com. Keep an eye on wherever social media is posted. Just search for GameGrin for all the latest news, reviews, and more. Thank you for listening and subscribing across Amazon Music, Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts. Just, we're all over the place. You can listen to us anywhere. Don't forget to leave a review, comment, or follow if available, because it really helps the show out with metrics and stuff. And while you're at it, game on.